Oh, that's right. Good afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you on WCRS. Looks like it's warm out there, but it's nice and cool here. And today we have Chief Librarian, the Executive Director of the Library, Prudence Taylor, is here with us. And I happened to talk to Prudence a couple of weeks ago, and she told me how disturbed she was about reading Go Set a Watchman, Harper Lee's latest release. And I said, well, you know, you need to come in and talk to us about that. And she said, all right, I will. How you doing today, Prudence?
I'm doing very well, Anne. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. But, you know, we were just talking a little bit about the book, and one of the things I think that a lot of people don't really know is actually what the title goes with. Go Set a Watchman, Let Him Announce What He Sees, For the Lord Said to Me. That's from Isaiah 21:6. Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does that mean as far as the book?
Well, Jean Louise Finch's Uncle Jack explains to her later on in the book that every man's watchman is his conscience. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there's a blurb about it on the back. Every man's island, Jean Louise, every man's watchman is his conscience. And he's talking to her about Atticus. She has just learned something that disturbs her a great deal about her father. She'd always had him on a pedestal, and she has learned something that it's just destroyed her image of him. She's not sure that she can be around him anymore. And so she goes to talk to her Uncle Jack about this, and he tells her then, he talks to her some about it then.
You know, in To Kill the Mockingbird, we have such wonderful character development and the story and the right from wrong and all this type of stuff. But it seems to me, from what I'm gathering, I have not read the book. I must tell you, I have not read the book. I've read a lot of reviews and read a lot of stuff about it. But it seems that Atticus is a much different person in the future than he was when he was the attorney.
Well, these are two entirely different characters. And I think that we really have to look at Go Set a Watchman for what it is. This was the novel that Harper Lee gave her literary agent at J.B. Lippincott, Tay Hoof, I think is her name. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name, but anyway, this is the novel that she gave her literary agent. Tay looked at it. She read it. She realized there was some good stuff here. Harper Lee told her that she wanted to write a race novel. And so Tay suggested that she...
A race or racy?
Race. R-A-C-E,
Ann. Okay, a race. Okay, go ahead.
She wanted to write a race novel. And so Tay suggested that she take the character of Jean Louise and move her back 20, almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so in To Kill a Mockingbird, we have the story told from the viewpoint of a young girl from the time that she is 5 or 6 years old up until the time she's 8 or 9 years old. We have language from a very gifted writer, from a writer who worked so hard to make this book almost musical.
You said the writing was lyrical.
Yes, I do. This has always been one of my favorite books. Several years ago when we did our first big read, I wrote the grant, so I picked the book, and the book I chose to use was To Kill a Mockingbird. I feel that there's so many important things there to say, that it says so many important things, but the characters are so well developed, we know them. Atticus is treated almost, he's not a fictional character, he's someone that we know. He's criticized as someone that we know. I've heard other people who hate the book because Atticus is too paternalistic. But maybe it's because the time I read this book, when I was 11 or 12 years old, I can remember climbing up we had built-in shelves when I was growing up, and my mother kept her good books that she didn't want my brothers and me to tear up or anything. She kept them on the very top shelf, and I can remember climbing up the shelf to get her copy of To Kill a Mockingbird. That's also where she kept her copy of Main Street and Babbitt and The Jungle, mm-hmm. you know, other books. Gone with the Wind was up there. But I climbed up there to get To Kill a Mockingbird, and I read it when I was 12, and I had a crush on Jim.
Okay.
But I also just loved Scout. I wished I had a little sister like her instead of the little brother I did have.
Oh, well.
Well.
Such is yeah, life. Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
But Atticus, his paternal, I had a father. My father was very present in our home. He worked very hard, and he had some of the qualities that Atticus had. Of course, he was a real person, so he had a lot of flaws that Atticus didn't have. Because remember, we're seeing this man from the viewpoint of his daughter. Of course, she's very young. She hasn't gotten to be old enough to where they're clashing a lot yet. Their biggest clash is over whether or not she has to continue in first grade. She doesn't want to go because she thinks it means that they can't read together anymore. And... but this is the book that it took Harper Lee 2.5 years to write. This is the book that she would go in and discuss with Tay that she worked so hard on. And this is a gem. This is a classic. And I truly feel that Ghost at a Watchman, if it had been promoted as a first draft, as a rough draft, instead of as a sequel.
Right.
I think we would see it very differently. But the characters are not the same. For one thing, they're not as well developed. And for another, there's just, there are too many differences. We also don't see there's no mention of the Radleys. Okay. There's no mention of the Ewells. We do have a couple of girls who are mentioned. Their fathers have impregnated them. They've been taken away from their homes after the babies were born. But that's all Harper Lee says about that. And yet in To Kill a Mockingbird, Mayella Ewell is, and her father Bob, they are key characters. And we know that Bob is abusing Mayella because she tells Tom Robinson that when she attacks him, she tells him that what her father did to her didn't count. She'd never been kissed, and so she decides that she's going to kiss this poor man and attack him because she knows that he can't ever... She knows that he is in a very vulnerable position in this time and in this place. In Ghost at a Watchman, they barely mention the trial. Jean Louise says that her father defended a black man on the charge of rape and that he got him off. Well, that didn't happen in To Kill a Mockingbird, but in this book it did, but it's barely a mention. And there's very little dialogue in this book. She makes speeches.
And so you feel that if it had been written that this was the first one, you would have been a lot more comfortable with it being, even though it would have been released later, as it has just been released.
I don't think this book should have been released.
You don't think it should have?
I don't think it should have been released. Don't misunderstand me. I've read it twice now. I read it the first day I got it.
3.5 hours, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that was the good thing about it. It didn't take me long to read. That was the only positive thing I could say.
Yes, when I called you, that's what you told me. You would never get back those 3.5 hours. Yes, okay.
Okay, all right. Maybe I was a little upset that
day. You were, but that's okay.
I had just read it.
Yes.
But I reread it this weekend because I knew I was going to come on here, and I thought, you know, maybe I judged this book too quickly.
Maybe you were unfair.
Yes.
Okay.
So I sat down and I read it again and I stopped and did things and I came back to it. And I still have the same opinion. And let me just say, I'm saying all of this not because I'm a librarian.
Right.
I'm saying it because I'm a reader.
Right.
And
And you actually love Harper Lee. It was your favorite. I mean, you know, I know one of the things you wanted to do was meet Harper Lee. I mean, you know, we talked about all this when we were doing To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. But I can't help but feel that people took advantage of her. She is 89 years old.
Mm-hmm. She lives in a nursing home.
She's assisted. Yes, assisted, you're right. Living. Assisted living. She cannot hear. She's almost completely deaf. She's suffering from macular degeneration with her eyesight, so she's almost blind. Her sister Alice Lee died in, I think, September 2014.
Yeah, it's been about a year.
She protected Harper Lee, and I feel like if they wanted this book published, it would have been published while Alice Lee was still alive.
And there's been a word that her lawyer is the person that has pushed this through.
Tanya Carter.
And Murdoch Publishing,
Rupert Murdoch, who owns HarperCollins. Her publisher, the one that Tanya Carter worked directly with, was Jonathan Burnham. And he is a senior vice president. He is a businessman. And I think that this was very good business. As of last week, they had sold 1.1 million copies in print, digital, and audio format. It's the fastest-selling title that HarperCollins has ever had in its history. So I'm sure they're crying all the way to the bank.
Right.
But I do think that it was a business decision. Jonathan Burnham said in an interview that which is on YouTube, that he thought the book was excellent. Well, he may be a publisher, but I'm not sure he's a reader.
He may have dollar signs in his eyes, too.
I'm sure he does. And I can't fault him for that. I mean, this was good business.
Right. It's just unfortunate it wasn't better written to have come out at this time.
Well, in 1964, you and I both have this same quote. We both found this same article. But it was in one of her last interviews. Harper Lee has always been very shy of publicity, and she stopped doing interviews in the 60s. She will still, up until she had her stroke, before that, she would still make personal appearances. She did come out of her assisted living to get an award from the president.
2007.
Yes. But that's, you know, she doesn't talk. She doesn't do interviews anymore. But in 1964, she said, "I think the thing that I most deplore about American writing is a lack of craftsmanship. It comes right down to this, the lack of absolute love for language, the lack of sitting down and working a good idea into a gem of an idea."
And that's where you feel that Go Set a Watchman was the good idea that turned into a gem with To Kill a Mockingbird.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to be here with Prudence for the Hour. We're going to talk some more about this, and who knows what else we'll get into. But you keep it right here on WCRS. We'll be back in just a moment.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking about Go Set a Watchman, Harper Lee's newest release. You know, though, I am amazed. I know that you didn't like it, but I was looking on Amazon, the number of reviews. I mean, there's thousands of reviews, and a lot of them are very positive towards the book. Why do you think that is, Prudence?
Well, everybody has different tastes.
Sure.
Everybody has different opinions. And my review is also on Amazon.
It's my not as positive, is it?
No, it isn't. This is the worst book I've read this year, and that's saying a lot. At this point, I've read 63 books since January of 2015. and this is the worst one I've read. It is not the worst book I have ever read, but I have not read many good books this year. I've read books I've liked. I have not read a book that I take that back. I read one book this year that I loved, Me Before You by JoJo Moyes, but it wasn't published this year.
Oh, okay.
I haven't read a new book. I haven't found a new book that I absolutely love. And usually by this time of year, I have. But it's more than half over. People just have different tastes. People have different opinions. And I think that's why it's getting... some people really, really love it. They love it as much or more than they did To Kill a Mockingbird.
Do you think that the timing of the book coming out in response to race relations and this type of thing, I mean, showing the South as being racist, do you think that there's any validity to that aspect of it? Do you think it was good timing? If one was going to release this book, it was good timing?
Harper Lee is such a popular writer. I don't think there would have been a bad time to release this book.
But do you think it maybe that's what feeds into people reading
Yes. And
being impressed by the book and everything?
I think so. I do. There have been so many awful things to happen. And race has always been an issue in this country. And I guess it always will be. But I just think that this tarnishes Harper Lee's literary legacy. You know, they say that she was asked 5 times if she wanted to publish this book, and she said yes every time. There are people who don't want to hold her responsible. She's proud of it, but it's being proud of an amateurish effort.
Well, I think the question you have to question, being she is 89 and being that she's led such a sheltered life, I mean, and being shy and everything, if she wanted it released, why didn't she release it 20 years ago?
Yes.
Why
wasn't it released before Alice Lee, who was her protector, her oldest sister, 15 years older than she? Why didn't Alice Lee release it?
I mean, if it was really a subject of something, oh, I want to do this, it would seem that would have been their discussion, and then there would have been a move, or it would have been burned, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from that aspect, that's very interesting. But, too, when you talk about this book, you talk about the lack of character development. I find it very interesting that we're being told that the publisher or the literary agent told her that was the first book that she presented to her. She told her to take it and develop it and take it back 15 years, 20 years to a child. It seems kind of hard for me to believe that she would have had the foresight to know that Harper Lee could write a book, and by telling her to take it back and to take it from a different angle.
Well, there's some sections in the book that you will find if you read it, if you decide to read
it. Yes.
There are sections that have to do with the descriptions of families. For example, the Cunninghams and the Coninghams. You'll find this, you know, some of the passages or some of the sentences are the same from Ghost Out of the Watchman and To Kill a Mockingbird. But that was what a good literary agent did at that time. They found gold in the dross. Maxwell Perkins, he was Ernest Hemingway's agent, and he came down on Hemingway. He would tell him to cut out thousands of words, thousands of lines, hundreds of chapters, because Hemingway would just pick up a pen and start writing, and it was almost verbal diarrhea.
Right.
I guess I shouldn't say that on the radio.
No, that's okay. But that's what I'm saying. I find it just totally amazing that somebody could see that in this book and say, oh, I'll take it back 20 years or whatever, and, you know, you might have something here.
But she worked with her on this for 2.5 years. At one point, Harper Lee got so sick of the book that she took her manuscript. She was living in New York. She took her manuscript and threw it out the window. and it was snowing. She called Tay and told her what she had done, and Tay told her to go downstairs and get every page, pick up every single page, because as it turns out, that was the only copy.
Wow.
And Harper Lee did that. She went downstairs, she collected every single page, all, you know, the sidewalk, the street, whatever, and took it back up. And because she did that, because Tay worked with her so closely on this. Now, she didn't write sections of it.
Right.
Harper Lee wrote it, but because she worked with her on it, and just between the two of them, she was almost like a midwife.
Right.
Between the two of them, they birthed this wonderful book.
Well, I think that's amazing. I think, to me, it would be hard to say, oh, yeah, I think you got something here. We're going to call it To Kill a Mockingbird. Just take it back 25 years.
But she
worked with her on it.
She worked with her on it. And that's the thing. I mean, that was her job. That was what she did.
We also have to look at it at the time that it was taking place. Certainly, I'm not sure that would happen today. Do you think so?
I don't know. Well, like I said, I haven't read anything really good this year. I'm not sure literary agents do that anymore. Maxwell Perkins is dead. Tay is dead. And that may have been one reason why Harper Lee chose not to write another book until this awful thing was published. I guess I shouldn't say that on the radio. But it was because the people she had worked with to make this book so wonderful, To Kill a Mockingbird so wonderful, they were no longer there. They were not retired. They were dead.
Why do you think? Well, we're gonna pause and join the news in progress, and we're gonna come back. I want to find out, why did Harper Lee never write another book? When we come back, we'll talk about it, that, and a whole lot more. Hey, if you've got a question for Prudence, have you read the book? You can go ahead. Emerald, why don't we put that on Facebook as a question? What are people thinking about to the Watchmen, to set a Watchman?
Go set a Watchman.
Go set a Watchman. What are you thinking about that book? And did you love To Kill a Mockingbird as much as Prudence loves that book? Did you like it that much? What do you think? Why don't we set that up as a question, Emerald, on Facebook? I'll get my computer. We'll see what people are saying. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I'm here at Sharp Fast's Gallery in my studio. Right here, sitting across from me, is Prudence Taylor. She is the executive director of the library, and we've put that question out there on Facebook, on my Facebook page, Ann Eller. What did you think of Go Set a Watchman? Have you read it? Was it better or worse than To Kill a Mockingbird? Did you think it should have been released? Maybe would even be a better question. Or do you find that it is, what shall we say, embarrassing maybe for Harper Lee? Prudence, you definitely feel that that book should not have been released.
I do think that it tarnishes her literary legacy. I do think that. It's amateurish. You've got a different character of Atticus. He is a member of the clan. He had been a member of the clan. He is now on the board of the Macomb Citizens Council, which is a white citizens council. He is fighting the NAACP. He feels that the African American community is not capable of holding office, of making decisions for themselves or for other members in Macomb. They should not vote. We have a man who is standing shoulder to shoulder with Bull Connors, with George Wallace.
Not the man that Scout remembers.
Not the same character. And he's a fictional character, and that's the thing I want to keep saying. He is a fictional character. This man is not really alive. He has inspired people. The character in To Kill a Mockingbird, that Atticus Finch, inspired people to become attorneys.
Gregory Peck. We're talking Gregory Peck, right?
Well, the character Gregory Peck played, the fictional character played by Gregory Peck in the movie.
No, he was Atticus, wasn't he? Come on now, don't confuse the issue here, Prudence.
But he inspired people to become attorneys. He inspired people to do the right thing, no matter how hard it might be.
Right.
This is not the character that we have in Ghost Set a Watchman. We have another character in Ghost Set a Watchman. We have a young man named Henry Clinton, and he is Scout's boyfriend. He was Jim's best friend, and since Jim has died, he has replaced Jim. He's taken Jim's place in Atticus's law firm and in his heart. Henry wants to marry the boss's daughter.
His last name is Clinton? Is that what you said?
It's Clinton. C-L-I-N-T-O-N. Clinton.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
was that his original name? I mean, I'm just
He was not in To Kill a Mockingbird.
See? Okay. I rest my case. There's been a little hanky-panky in this book.
And yet he was supposed to be so important to Jean Louise, and she doesn't use her name Scout anymore. We see it once or twice, but he was supposed to be Jim's best friend during the school year, and then during the summers he would go back out to the country and live with his mother and help her run her general store. She dies when he's 14, and Atticus takes him in hand, gets him a job at the Jitney Jungle, and helps him get through law school, and then hires him after he finishes law school to really teach him how to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not fully developed, and what there is very dislikable. He is a coward. He joins the Macomb County Citizens Council because he's afraid not to. He tells Jean Louise that her father joined the Klan so that he would know who was hiding behind the mask, and it turns out the Methodist minister was the Grand Wizard. And I know I'm throwing a lot of spoilers out there, so for anybody who hasn't read the book, I apologize. Cover your ears. But he gives speeches, and that's the other problem with the book. Harper Lee wrote speeches. There's not much dialogue. There are speeches. And Jean Louise...
And yet, are they well-written speeches?
No. No, they're not. And Jean Louise is self-righteous. She's not very likable. You might agree with her politically. And I'm not talking about being politically correct. You might agree with her politically, but she is not likable. Henry Clinton is not likable. Atticus Finch is wanting to come down off this pedestal that Jean Louise has set him on, and he certainly manages that. And they are able to reconcile, but it's just not a good book.
Well, there you go. Go Set a Watchman. It certainly has set sales on fire, though. 1.1 million copies sold, all different mediums, from digital to hard
print,
copy.
Digital and audio. Yeah. Reese Witherspoon did the audio version, and she's one of these. I saw her on some show. She was talking about it, and she said that some of the words were hard to say, and they are. Sissy Spacek did the audio for To Kill a Mockingbird, and I think she found it difficult to use some of the words, and we're talking about the N-word primarily. But some of the things that Atticus says, when he says that the African-American community is too childish, that there would be another Reconstruction, it's just...
And yet this took place in
the 50s.
In the 50s.
Yes. Yeah. And we have a man who, in To Kill a Mockingbird, we have a fictional character, not a man. We have a fictional character.
He's a man. Come on now, Prudence. Go ahead. Okay.
Who stood up for Tom Robinson. He was assigned the case, even though Maxwell Green, who was the newest attorney in town, in Macomb, was normally given these cases because he needed the business, for one thing, and he needed the experience for another. But Judge Taylor assigns this case to Atticus Finch because he knows that Atticus will do his best to defend Tom Robinson, because he knows that Atticus feels that the court is the one place in the world where we are all equal. And that is not the Atticus that we see. That is a different character from the one that we see in Go Set a Watchman. Atticus Finch in Go Set a Watchman is paternalistic. He is a gentleman, but he is a bigot and a racist. And
It's hard to figure, isn't it? It's hard to figure why it was released. The only thing that actually does make sense is dollar signs.
Oh, I have no doubt why it was released. I agree with you completely. It was because they've made so much money off of it. And in such a short time, this book, I think I've already said it, is the fastest selling book HarperCollins has ever had. The only book that sold faster, and it wasn't for HarperCollins, the Harry Potter books are the only books that have ever sold faster than Go Set a Watchman by Harper Lee. And I have to say, I enjoyed the Harry Potter books.
Yes. She enjoyed those books, but she didn't enjoy Go Set a Watchman. She has read it twice now, folks, getting ready to come on the air to talk about it. Hey, if you have a question, pick up that phone and give us a call, 229-7984. You can also comment on my Facebook page, Ann Eller. Have you read the book? What do you think about the book? Do you think that it was all about the dollar signs? And what about Harper Lee? What will be the future of Harper Lee's reputation here? Will that overstep what she did with To Kill a Mockingbird? We're going to talk about some of that when we come back. Don't you go away.
They say every kiss begins with, but at Sharp Facets Gallery, every smooch begins with Sharp Facets Gallery. Which do you want? A little kiss or a big smooch? I'll bet a big smooch. So shop Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, for rock bottom prices. And smooch a bull results.
Oh, that's right. How you doing this afternoon? You know, we were just talking about reviews, and you know, There are things that a good book has. It has a good plot. It has good character development. It flows. I mean, you know, we all know of books that we've read that we had a hard time following from chapter one to chapter five and this type of thing. And we know of books that just aren't well written. You may read it because you like the storyline or something, but you don't really enjoy it. Why do you think that there's so many people out there giving this glowing reviews of this? I mean, there are oodles of reviews out there, and a lot of them are quite glowing.
Oh, absolutely. But a review is someone's opinion. And I don't like this book. I've read it twice now, and I'm not going to change my mind, I've realized.
Yes.
But that is my opinion. And I'm saying this not because I'm a librarian, but as I said, because I'm a reader. And there's some good things in there. There are a couple of good things. You were asking about how a literary agent could look at a book and say, well, why don't you take this back 20 years? But I happen to think there are two sections, there are two stories. One is when Jean Louise is a young girl. She has just started her period. And she is discussing it with a girl at school, and she thinks that because a boy kissed her and put his tongue in her mouth that she is pregnant.
Okay.
And so that turns out to be a little bit scary, but also Henry Clinton rescues her She decides, rather than disgrace her family, she will jump off the water tower. She climbs up there and is hanging over. Her shoes have already fallen off, and Henry Clinton comes up and grabs her and makes her climb back down the water tower, and then she tells Calpurnia what the problem is. And Calpurnia laughs, but she also tells her the facts of life and just says, I didn't tell you before because you were so young. I didn't think that you would understand. Then the other time is when Jim has made arrangements for Henry Clinton to take her to the prom as his date. And she tries on a dress, and it doesn't look quite right because she's flat. Mm-hmm. So she gets a pair of falsies.
Okay.
And there isn't time for Cal to sew them into her dress, so they move around.
Okay. Should have been interesting.
Yes, and those are two incidents that didn't make it into To Kill a Mockingbird, but they give us a view of Jean Louise, of Scout, mm-hmm. as a young girl. And that may be what Tay saw.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I think it's just so interesting that how you see this. But of course, if that is your career and that is what you do, then I guess you do. Now, we were talking that you think that this is going to, well, two things we were talking about. One is supposedly five times she said she wanted to release it and to release the book. But then how do you know what her true, mental state is?
We're never going to know. Yeah. Tanya Carter acted as her attorney. She was Alice Lee's partner. And she has become very protective of Harper Lee. Marja Mills wrote a book called The Mockingbird Next Door. She had permission. She had written permission from Harper Lee and from Alice Lee to write this book. She moved in next door and she met with people. Harper Lee gave her names of people to contact to write this book. After it came out, Tanya Carter crafted a statement that Harper Lee signed saying that this was an unofficial biography, that she had not given Marja Mills permission to write it. And Marja Mills received a note from Alice Lee apologizing for that. But we are never going to know what I'm getting to, I apologize for going all around John's barn to say this. We're just never going to know because the contact with Harper Lee is so limited. Her publisher, Jonathan Burnham, didn't meet with her. He met only with Tanya Carter. And he said, you know, it's really not necessary for a publisher to meet with an author. We only need to meet with the agent or the attorney. Another book that we have available for checkout out the library is Mockingbird by Charles Shields. And this has been out several years. This has always been the primary biography of Harper Lee.
Is it official?
Yeah. Well, yes. Sort of, as much as she will allow one to be official. He would not meet with her. It's really interesting. When I was reading about this, there was a British talk show hostess, and she went to Macomb to meet with Harper Lee to get an interview, and she went to the drugstore and she bought her a box of chocolate candy, and she waited until Harper Lee and her sister Alice Lee came out, and she walked up to her and she said, I've come all the way over from England to interview you. And Harper Lee said, that's nice. And the woman said, I brought you this box of candy. And Harper Lee said, oh, how kind of you. And she took the box of candy and said, we're just going to feed the ducks now. And she walked away. And that was all she
got. That was the interview.
That was the interview.
Wow.
And they had advertised it. The media, the woman's television station had advertised it. They said, an interview with Harper Lee. And that was it.
Wow.
But this is a woman who's very publicity shy.
We were talking a little bit about how do you know somebody's real mental state? How do you ask a question to know whether she's just saying yes, yes, yes? You said she said yes five times. How do you know when you were talking about someone you knew who wanted to vote?
My mother, yes. My mother had Alzheimer's. And the last time that there was an election that she could vote in, she's not here anymore, but I asked her, I said, do you want to go vote? Yes, I do. And I said, who are you going to vote for? And she looked at me like I was a fool, and she said, I'm going to vote for FDR.
And that was John McCain and...
And the people who were running were John McCain and Barack Obama. I took her shopping instead. For one thing, I knew it would get her mind off of it, but I didn't want her to get down there and find out that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was not running that time.
But, you know, in order to ask a question that you can really sink your teeth into to know somebody's mental state, that's a tough one. But that was an excellent question and answer from your mom.
Oh, absolutely. She never could understand. She told me later on she couldn't understand how anyone could run against FDR. But he was president the whole time she was growing up. And when he died, she was just... so frightened. She and I think she was in college, but she and her friends were so worried because who would be president?
Right.
There was no one else there.
Yeah. So when we talk about Harper Lee, to know whether she really knew the decision that she was making on that, and did she realize that you feel in the end it's really going to tarnish her reputation futuristically?
I do. I think this was a very bad decision on the part of Tonya Carter, if she truly is as protective of Harper Lee as she's supposed to be. I think if it were something that the Harper Lee wanted to publish, I think Alice Lee would have published it before she died, years before she died. I think it's interesting, and I shouldn't say this, but I think it's interesting that this book did not see the light of day until after Alice Lee died.
And where had it been?
Well, it was in a box, a bank box that safety deposit box that Alice Lee had. And there are two or three different stories floating around. Tonya Carter claims that she opened the safety deposit box after Alice Lee's death and let two men go through it, and she left the room. And there are others who say, no, she was there. She knew that book was there. So we'll never know. It depends on what you know of Tonya Carter. I don't know her, but I know there are several different stories about how this was found.
Because you would think Alice would have gotten rid of it a long time ago if she never wanted it published.
She may not have felt that she could, though, because it wasn't hers. She didn't write it. It was the first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird. And honestly, I don't think that there would be this controversy if this had been promoted as the first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird. But no, it was promoted as a novel in its own right. It was promoted as a sequel to Kill a Mockingbird. And I think that it is a mess that is going to have us looking at To Kill a Mockingbird in a very different way.
So you think it's going to ruin the image of even To Kill a Mockingbird?
I think it's going to tarnish the image. I think it's going to tarnish the images of the characters. Certainly Atticus Finch, he's gone from being a man who goes against his family, his friends, his community, to do what is right, to defend Tom Robinson to the best of his ability, which is considerable.
Correct. And would he have done that? This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Would he have done that, knowing all the things that you know about him in this other novel?
No.
No.
No, he would not have. They do take on a case. They take on the case of Calpurnia's grandson, but it's to keep the NAACP out. Mm-hmm. It's not to give this man a good defense. It is to keep the NAACP out of Macomb.
Wow. So there you go. Interesting conversation this afternoon. Prudence, I sure appreciate you taking time to come and talk to us about this. In your mind, though, To Kill a Mockingbird is still... Is it tarnished? Has that book tarnished your feeling of To Kill a Mockingbird?
I wish I could say that it hasn't, but the truth is, it has. I doubt that I will ever look at it the same way.
That's sad. That's very sad.
I think so, because this has been one of my favorite books since I was 12, and I'm not shattered.
You're not shattered.
but I am so disappointed. Wow. I'm so disappointed in Harper Lee.
Wow. Well, thank you very much, Prudence, for sharing that with us this afternoon. I will be looking for comments on my Facebook page. Have you read Go Set a Watchman? And what did you think with it in comparison to Kill a Mockingbird? Has it shattered the reputation of To Kill a Mockingbird? I don't know. Hey, I'm looking for your input. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Prudence, thanks so much for staying with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Ed.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.